One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. There's a summer party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the show for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck. I am very sorry for my absence last week. It was just a crazy week for me, so I needed to take the week off and sort of catch up with myself a little bit. I was actually out of town last weekend. I went to the All Things Go music festival in Maryland, and it was so much fun. I only went for one day. I went to the Saturday shows, and the Wombats were playing, which they're really the reason why I wanted to go to the festival in the first place. I was excited to see other people too. Don't get me wrong. I was so excited to see Hemlock Springs. I was so excited to see Carly Rae Jepsen. Loved the other performers, but make no mistake, I was absolutely there to see the Wombats. I just love them so much, and it's been so long since I've been able to see them. I saw Love, Fame, Tragedy, which is the lead singer of the Wombats, Matthew Murphy. His solo project is called Love, Fame, Tragedy. I saw him perform like the day his album came out. I think that was early 2020. It was like right before the pandemic happened that I saw him live, but it's been so long since I've seen them because for their last tour, I was away, the show they had in New York. And then the tour before that was pre-pandemic, and I did have tickets and I was going, but I did get hit by a car when I was crossing the street to get into the venue. Literally was crossing the street to get to Terminal 5, and me and my roommate were both hit by a car. And so I spent that concert in the emergency room. I was so upset about it. Like, to this day, oh, that was so disappointing. That was such a horrible night. We were obviously fine. Nothing bad happened, but it was kind of buck wild, crazy bonkers. It was a Halloween show. It wasn't like on Halloween, but it was Halloween weekend. And so everyone was going to the show in costume. And I think this is the last time I ever did Halloween, to be honest. I think this was 2019. I believe 2018 or 2019. I think it was 2019. And I was dressing up as a cheerleader. And I always, my like take on Halloween is that everything should always be dead. I'm like sort of losing my steam to commit to that take because it's so much work to look dead. I just don't know if I have it in me anymore. But my take when I was doing Halloween, when I was dressing up, was always that you should make your costume dead and that all Halloween costumes should involve blood. You can be sexy anything. I'm down with all of that, but make it sexy and dead. Like wear your bra and underwear, but slit your neck in the process and get the fake blood and the, you know, the latex going and just make it disgusting. I think it should be disgusting and sexy at the same time. That's perfect to me. I did sexy Pennywise with the arrow through my head in college. Beautiful. Okay. I'm down for shit like that. So we're going to this concert. I dressed up as a cheerleader because I love the sexy costumes. I was in a cheerleading costume that said daddy on the front of it, and I slit my neck open with makeup, obviously. I really liked doing special effects makeup when I was in college. So I would go all out, and I was pretty good at it too, because I was doing it all the time, and I would do it on other people too, because I just thought it was fun. And so we were walking across the street to get to this concert, get hit by a car. Thank God they like stopped when they hit us. We were in the crosswalk. We had the fucking walk sign. This car was just a maniac. But they slammed on the brakes, thank God, because if they didn't, I'd be dead. Because I got hit front on and was like slammed back and my head hit the pavement. And the tire would have ran over my head. Anyways, I survived, lived to tell the tale. So it's all good. But the crazy part was that onlookers were really concerned because I looked like I was dying because I'm covered in fake blood with my neck slit open. So this was probably a very traumatic experience. This is probably more traumatic for other people than it was for me, right? Because I was hit, my head hit the pavement, and I get up. My roommate was like really, really shook. And I think when bad things happen to me, or like when I'm in a group and bad things happen, I immediately go into like mother mode, and I'm like, what's wrong? Who's doing this? I'm like, I just slammed my head in the pavement, and I'm like jumping up right away to go get my roommate and whatever. Oh my God. So I was like, I hopped right up and I'm like walking, and people are coming over to me like, sit down. They're like panicked. I can see people across the street like pointing and gasping, and it's like because I literally look like my head's about to fall off my body. They're like, something is wrong over there. No, it's fine. Neither of us were concussed. We were actually completely fine, thank God. But I did spend the entire concert in the emergency room with them making sure that we were fine and we weren't concussed. But this was a really fun ambulance ride, actually, because the fucking EMTs that show up, now they have to deal with me in my daddy cheerleader costume covered in fake blood. And I have to reassure everybody that night that it's all fake. It's just fake blood. It's just special effects. I promise I'm not dying. You know, imagine walking into an emergency room looking like that with your neck slit open, your guts just fucking hanging out, and you have to just constantly tell people, please don't worry. First glance, I know this is shocking. I am fine. I actually left my house looking like this. I just also might have a concussion now. So if you could just like get me checked out for that, that'd be sick. So anyways, that was the last time I had tickets to the Wombats. Let's go see their show. But I've seen them on like maybe all of their tours since I was young. I loved the Wombats for many, many a year. And Matthew Murphy is just like the greatest songwriter ever, in my opinion. He is a beast and such a talent when it comes to writing love songs that are so beautiful but are also so truthful and honest in a way that just like rips my heart out. I love it. And actually, would you believe it, this podcast is actually named after one of his lyrics, sort of, in the song Backflip by Love Fame Tragedy, his solo project. The first line of that song is, lately I've been emotionally offline, and I really loved that lyric. I had a playlist during my year of no dating that was like all like single bitch anthems called Emotionally Offline. And then that's how it eventually turned into Emotionally Online. But it came from the song because I just love his music, and I love everything that comes out of that man's brain. But I just took it and I modified it. And that was how Emotionally Online came to be, if you would believe it. If you would fucking believe it. So I love this man. I do. I love the Wombats. And it was so fun standing in a crowd of people just jumping up and down and screaming those lyrics and being like, this is everything I want right now. It was awesome. It was fucking sick. I loved it. I've been feeling just like so happy and so excited about life recently. I said in my most recent video, but the last few weeks, I think I felt like the hottest I've ever felt in my entire life. I don't even really know what's going on or why I feel this way. I've just been waking up, doing life, going about my tasks, getting ready, you know, styling my little outfits, living my cute little life. And I feel like, God, I just fucking love her. Like, she's sick. Me being her. Like, sometimes I just feel like I look at myself from a bird's eye view and I'm like, I like you, bitch. What the fuck? When did you get here? And yeah, I've just felt really good. I've really been happy with myself recently. I feel very, very hot, very comfortable. I just, life is good lately. I feel way more secure in myself, I guess, which I've brought up a few times in over the last few months. So I guess it's been a slowly coming into sort of thing. There's just been more and more of it, but it just feels like a lot lately where I'm like, damn, who are you? When did you get here? Because I really like you, bitch. What the fuck? I was having an interesting conversation with my therapist a few weeks ago, which now my fucking insurance is not working with my therapist anymore. So I'm in like a whole mess with my insurance right now. Getting insurance as a self-employed person is an actual fucking nightmare. I can't explain it. I have the worst insurance possible. It literally has stopped covering everything. It doesn't cover any of the doctors that I normally go to, even though it said that it would when I signed on to get it. But apparently there's a third party payer. So it like makes it null and void, even though it's fucking Blue Cross Blue Shield and it's supposed to cover all these doctors. Anyways, every person that I've been seeing has slowly been like, oh, your insurance doesn't work. And I'm like, I literally switched insurance in April, so I don't know why it worked for like the first 4-5 months that I, whatever. Insurance doesn't work with my therapist anymore. I'm pissed off about it. It's just a nightmare. But anyways, the last time I saw my therapist before I was in this nightmare trying to figure out my bullshit insurance, I was talking to her, you know, just we're talking updates, we're talking dating, we're talking having a crush, we're having chats about feeling your feelings, whatever. This is a continued thing. Me and my girl, Olivia, we get into it, okay? But I was reflecting on this idea of the importance of being chosen and how I think wanting to be chosen really used to control me a lot more than it does now, if at all. I won't say it's completely gone because that feels wild to be like, I don't care at all about being chosen. It just feels different now. I was also reading some of my old poetry, some of which that I shared in a recent vlog of mine, but you can hear in like a lot of my old poetry, old videos, a lot of things I made, especially around college, like how deeply not being chosen impacted my self-esteem. I think it made me more pessimistic about love and relationships and commitment and like other outward grand gestures of choosing someone or someone being told they're special. I think not having been chosen and not having been special or not feeling that way, of course I'm special. Maddie, you're so special. Oh my God, thank you. But I think that like lacking that romantic interest and having those romantic experiences in high school and college, or having, you know, negative experiences, whatever, we've talked about it on the pod, you guys know my deal. But you know, there was this era of my life where being chosen felt so important to me, and the lack of being chosen would feel like direct proof on how desirable that I was or wasn't. Like my lovability felt like it was always being called into question, because I was like, why am I not special to someone? Like, why are these people that I'm dating, that I'm going out with, when they treat me so poorly, that makes me feel like they don't think I'm special, that maybe I'm not special? Because if I was, why would people treat me like this? Like, I felt like I was constantly questioning my own worth because of how other people treated me, and because I wasn't being chosen in the way that I wanted to be chosen. And I was talking to my therapist about really caring for someone deeply and wanting them to sort of come to their own conclusions and figure out their own selves before pursuing me, because it just feels like it's what we both deserve. Whereas an older version of myself probably would have felt the need to like sweeten the deal, so to say, or fight to be chosen, fight to show this person why I should be chosen, rather than being like, actually, it is best for both of us that we both figure out our own selves, come to our own conclusions before you even consider if you could be a match or you consider exploring that. You never know what the future is going to hold, right? I'm never going to write something off forever because it just feels ridiculous. I just think it's so much more complicated than I ever felt it was in the past. Like in the past, it was like, I'm not chosen, and therefore this means about how desirable I am or how lovable I am. And now that feels like so reductive, obviously. But it really did feel like in the past, I felt this gnawing at me to like prove to people why I'm worthy of being chosen. Because if I can't convince them that I'm special, then I can't convince myself that I'm special either. It felt like there was so much riding on being chosen by other people because I didn't feel secure enough in myself without that. It was like I needed the affirmation from other people. I needed to be chosen. I needed to be told I was special in order to believe it. And if they didn't, it felt like confirmation that I wasn't, which is obviously not true. It was honestly really ego-driven. It's not like that reaction is not honoring the connection or the relationship or giving grace to how you and the other person feel in the space and time you are in your lives. Like it's purely ego-driven, getting the affirmation, getting the satisfaction of knowing that somebody feels XYZ about you without taking into account if that's even like the best plan of action for this connection, or if it's what both of you are ready for or what you need. I don't know. It's reductive is what it is. And it's ego driven. Anyways, was just a word vomiting all of this out to my therapist. Blah, blah, blah. And she was like, do you understand how difficult it is to reach a place where you're secure like this to the point where you're giving a fuck about the integrity of your future self and your future relationships? At the sacrifice of being chosen simply because you want the other person to feel secure in their own choices in choosing you. Now it's not really about if I'm being chosen or when I'm being chosen. It's about being honest, being vulnerable, living truthfully to how I feel in each relationship dynamic that I'm in. It's giving grace to the people that I care about deeply to show up as their most truthful and honest self, to leave space for things to be not black and white, to leave space for people to lead their own complicated lives, to have pasts that don't involve me, feelings and things that they're working through in their lives that have nothing to do with me. Giving people that I care about space to be those people, to go through those things. Because maybe being in a relationship, choosing you, is not the top priority right now. And maybe it shouldn't be. Maybe their top priority absolutely should be somewhere else. And maybe that in itself, maybe not being chosen, is actually more respectful to the integrity of the present and future relationship dynamic. I just think it's more complicated than what my past self ever gave it credit for. I don't know. I'm kind of rambling now, but it's all so complicated, right? Feelings are complicated. Caring for people is complicated. It's not always so black and white. Although there are absolutely parts of myself that wish that it's like, well, everything should just be easy all the time, always. And it's just not how it is, but that's okay. And it also doesn't have to be, but it feels good that the idea of being chosen or not being chosen and this like black and white way of seeing my desirability or also black and white way of seeing like my connection with somebody else, like it's only worthwhile or it's only meaningful if I am chosen, if it does get to that point, versus like just enjoying the time that you have with people, enjoying the connections you have with people for what they are. That's just something I've been thinking about a lot and hearing my therapist like acknowledge the progress that I'd made and that it was like a big deal for me to say something like that felt really good. I've been seeing my current therapist for a year now. I switched therapists last year just because of my whatever, long story, nobody cares. I liked my old therapist too. It wasn't because I didn't like my old therapist. I'm pretty sure I talked about this on the podcast, but I've been with her for a year now. So to hear her say something like that to me and like acknowledge my progress and how differently I'm speaking, even just within the last year, was really nice. And I think just helped reinforce to me, that like this version of myself that's coming into being right now, I really like her and I think she is cool. With all of the skincare products out there, it can be really overwhelming figuring out which products are going to be the best for you. If you really need a 10-step skincare routine, or if something a bit more simple would be best for you. So it's time to take the guesswork out of your skincare routine and find what's best for your skin with The Inky List. The Inky List is an award-winning, science-backed skincare brand that has the right ingredients at an affordable price to get the results you're looking for. Whether it's targeting acne, reducing fine lines, boosting hydration, The Inky List helps you create a unique skincare routine that really works and helps you reach your skin goals. And the best part is how affordable these products are. You can get a whole new routine for yourself for under $30. And if you already know what products you like and what works for your skin, you can find those same ingredients at The Inky List, retinol, vitamin C, for a much cheaper price. The product that I've been loving the most from The Inky List lately has to be their lip plumping balm. I'm someone that constantly keeps a little lip balm in my pocket, in my purse at all times. I love having plump, beautiful, luscious lips. And this product has quickly jumped to being one of my favorites. And right now, The Inky List is offering listeners of this show 20% off their purchase when you use code EMOTIONALLY online. Just go to theinkylist.com. That's Inky spelled I-N-K-E-Y. And use code EMOTIONALLY online for 20% off your order. That's theinkylist.com using code EMOTIONALLY online for 20% off. I received a really interesting Instagram DM this morning that read, "I have to hear your thoughts on the men hate their girlfriends thread that's going viral right now." And I read this and was like, sounds like something I would have a lot to say about, but I have no idea what this is. I am not on Twitter, X, anymore. I fully deleted my account on that app, so I'm 100% off of that. And I'm also not on TikTok. I still have the app. I don't open it though. I probably open TikTok like twice a month when friends tell me to open it. I'm like off both of these apps. So I miss some of this shit. And actually, like, when I see stuff like, because when I first deleted TikTok, do you guys remember me saying, like, I felt like the biggest reason I wasn't going to delete it is because I had like a fear of missing out on like cultural conversations or like jokes and gossip that I was just going to be so out of the loop for. And I really feel like I haven't been out of the loop on anything. Slash, the things that I don't hear about is shit like this that I'm like, I actually didn't need to hear this, which is exactly why I deleted TikTok in the first place, because I would see content like this all the time and it would like just deeply upset me. And I felt like it made me a much angrier and more sad person. When you're constantly like bombarded with like the most insane shit in the world, it's hard not to be like a little doom and gloom at some point. This is what TikTok did to me. I was pissed all the time. It was mostly like shitty dating and sex takes that I would see too, and I would be like panicked that I was in the dating pool with these people. I'd be like, what are you guys talking about right now? So I immediately messaged them back and was like, I have not seen this, can you link me? And they sent me over a TikTok to help enlighten me a little bit on what's going on. So I guess it all started with this tweet. Some random man on the internet tweeted, "That phase where you slowly start hating your girlfriend is crazy," crying emoji. And it has 97.2 million views, 28.9 thousand reposts, 62.2 thousand quotes, like 140,000 likes. And then underneath the tweet are a bunch of men building off of this original tweet, relating to this feeling of like slowly hating the person that you're with, or like finding joy in hurting them, finding ways to make them break up with you, a bunch of other crazy shit. I'll read a few of them so you start to get the gist of what this is. "When she keeps reminding you about her birthday and it hits you that you have to buy her a gift. When you have to tell her to dress up more to look modest, but deep down you're tired of seeing her body because she's not as hot as your new girl. When you cheat and she forgives you for the sixth time. When she holds your hand in public and you feel like cutting it off," which is an insane thing to write and put on the internet. I just like, I have a hard time not laughing at some of these. I think when you look at threads like this, I want to say, some of them are serious. Some of them are dead fucking ass. But I think a lot of the responses and threads like this are like internet edgelords and men that think it's funny to be misogynistic. Maybe they don't genuinely believe something like this, but they're just trying to say like the most insane thing to get a reaction. Not saying that I think that's better, because I think those people are like equally at fault for perpetuating like misogynistic viewpoints and normalizing that kind of behavior. But I will say that I do think a lot of these people are not necessarily being serious. They're doing all of this with the intention of upsetting women, which again is not better, but it's just worth noting. To be honest, this is real. You be feeling like your girl is irritating. That's the reason why most of us men cheat in marriages or relationships. Women are boring. Her tears give you joy because she sneaked, went through your phone and found out you cheated on her. When you start bringing issues out of anything just to make her tired out of you. Okay. You get the point. It's just like a bunch of weird misogynistic bullshit and like emotional abuse. Just, yeah, that's what it is. It's just emotional fucking abuse. So that's the thread. And I guess there's been a lot of conversation about it online. This like genre of men that just like hate women. And they also date women and are attracted to women, but like at their core, they do not respect women or see them as people, and how like distressing this kind of content is to see on the internet, as a woman in general. But I think especially when you're a woman who dates men and these are the people that you are potentially going to be in relationships with, and they are on the internet writing insane shit like that. To be honest, shit like this doesn't really surprise me anymore. I think with like the influx of these like alpha bro podcasters that are just so outwardly and aggressively misogynistic, with the like boom in creators like that, it's not shocking to me that we have more like outward and proud showcases of like just hating women like this. It feels like this is like the natural next thing that happens when you have people like Andrew Tate all over the fucking place. And even after all of the sex trafficking stuff came out about Andrew Tate, because first of all, everyone on the internet knew about the sex trafficking stuff long before he was actually being taken in by law enforcement and shit like that. And so it didn't really surprise me then that when everything like fully came out, how his supporters and fan base were still going to ride for him and be like, oh, but he's the man, even though he was literally posting how-to videos on how to sex traffic women on his website, posted videos talking through describing sex trafficking. So much content that was basically like a full admission of guilt. You listen to it and there's no other way to see it any other way. And his followers still rode for him, loved and supported him. Sex trafficking was not enough of a deal breaker for these people. But I think because you have people like Andrew Tate that have risen in popularity so much, I think that the popularity, the outward popularity, is something that makes people feel that their opinions that maybe they used to keep hidden in the corners of their brain, in the, you know, cracks of the internet where these people lived, when you have someone like Andrew Tate, who's super fucking popular, saying this shit, you start to feel like your takes are a little bit more valid. And this is like a cultural problem too. I wouldn't even say that this is like a rare issue. I think there are a lot of young men that are growing up being taught really aggressive, inflammatory things about what it means to be a man. And I think with the internet being so easy to like fall into these corners, it being so easy to be like a young boy that falls into like the Andrew Tate trap, and all these other people, right? Andrew Tate's not the only fucking one. There's so many of them. And so it feels really easy for young men specifically to be raised in households that teach them a certain thing about masculinity and how to treat women. They see women a certain way because of how they're raised, and they go online and they fall into these holes on the internet full of people that just hate women and will perpetuate and promote this way of thinking. And then this is exactly where they end up. And I think these are people that maybe they are attracted to women physically. Maybe they date women because that gives them some kind of sexual gratification, or they feel like big and brave and masculine because they have women fawning over them and wanting them. But when it comes down to it, they don't respect women. And it is like, she's here because she's hot sort of thing. People like this don't see women as like interesting intellectual people. They just see you as something hot to bring around with them. I don't know. And although seeing numbers like that is like distressing, when you see a thread like that with all those responses and all those likes and quotes and whatever, granted that I'm sure a lot of those quote tweets are people being like, what the fuck is this shit? It's hard when you see those numbers not to feel like so doom and gloom about dating and about being intimate and close with men when you have this like fear of them secretly fucking hating you, or like instead of breaking up with you, they're just gonna emotionally abuse you until you decide to leave, and it's your fault if you don't, and gaslighting you into thinking that you're actually the problem, and that if they treat you poorly, it's because you should have picked better versus like they should have treated you better and that's on them. I'm not even gonna say it's rare, because I don't think it is. I think there's a huge problem. I think there's a massive problem in how young men are taught about masculinity and how to treat women. And I think it is so easy for them to fall victim to these like internet wormholes with people like Andrew Tate and fucking Fresh and Fits, Nico, all these fucking losers on the internet that are causing real fucking problems for people. I think there's a large problem at hand here that needs to be taken seriously, by especially by like these social media platforms that have the power to deplatform people like this. I think it's important that they do. So I'm not even going to say it's rare and that like we shouldn't worry about it or pay attention to it, because I think that it is a problem. And I think even the people that contribute to shit like this to be edgelords are contributing to the problem. It's not funny. And if you think it's funny to disrespect women and make jokes about how much you hate your girlfriend or your wife or whoever, if you think it's funny to play into shit like that, I think you have some misogyny to uncover too, because there's nothing funny about that. But I feel like I went to high school with a lot of people like this who would like make really unsavory and sexist jokes, and they thought it was so funny. And same goes for like people making gay jokes or trans jokes. I went to high school with a lot of people that thought humor like that was funny, and that pissing people off and being an edgelord was like just the funniest thing that you could fucking do. And I used to get so mad and so frustrated, because I felt like a lot of the time when myself or my friends would try to like stand up against this bullshit, we were always told like, oh, just ignore them, boys will be boys. And I just disagree with that reaction so wholeheartedly. So like, as much as it is distressing to be like, oh my God, this isn't a small group of people that's like just hiding in the corner of the internet. Now they have these huge platforms and they're following these people with other huge platforms and they're talking, and there's thousands, tens of thousands of people, you know, vomiting out similar ideologies on the internet like it's nothing. And that sucks. But it also is still the majority opinion that that sucks. And I think it's important to remind yourself of that, because I get it. Sometimes I start being like, oh my God, there's so much horrible things happening in the world everywhere. And there's so many absolutely fucking insane people all over the internet saying absolutely insane things. But I really do believe that the majority of us are sitting at home feeling the same exact way about these people. But it is wild what people will like confidently put on the internet. What people are willing to say what jokes people are willing to make, what they think is appropriate. I've always thought that like men hating their girlfriends or wives jokes were really bizarre. Or even like taking a step back, not like, I mean, a lot of the examples in this thread are like really aggressive and abusive. But then there's also like the like lighthearted millennial guy hates wife humor shit that I've never understood either. Like when people make jokes about like the old ball and chain or whatever the fuck, like it's, I've never understood why that's funny either. Like I don't understand my nagging wife who wants me to do the dishes. Like I don't really get why shit like that is funny. I think there's also a part of me that feels very removed from worrying about ending up in the same dating pool as people like this, because people like this are usually fat phobes too, so I kind of feel safe from them. I'm like, I don't think these people are interested in me at all, so I think I'm safe. I think that in a way my fatness here is providing a shield for me, because I'm just like a big fat loser to them. And I kind of love that, because I don't want to know these people at all. So if they think I'm fat and gross, then that's awesome, actually. But yeah, that thread is really distressing. I don't recommend looking at it if you don't have to. But there are, without a doubt, a lot of wonderful, thoughtful, caring, kind, loving men out there that do see women as people and are also equally as distressed by content like this, content made by people like this, threads that look like this, that would call these people out to their face if they knew them. Because I think that's the other part of this, is that like you have the shitty people, you have the people that maybe know those people and know their behavior is shitty but will do nothing to stand up for women when they hear this bullshit, or stop them, call their friends out, tell them that it's wrong, like call out misogyny when they see it. I think especially within like friendship groups, you have a lot of like, it's the same like boys will be boys mentality, like, ah, oh, yeah, my boy's fucked up, he says crazy shit, but that's just fucking, that's Kenny. Pff, the classic fucking Kenny, just hates women, hates his girlfriend, wants to cut his hand off when she holds it. Like, I think those people suck just as much. Like, if you're friends with shitty people and you are willing to excuse their behavior instead of calling them out, I don't know, I think it's bizarre. Why would you even want to be friends with someone like that? But then you have another group of people that are not friends with people like that. And if they were friends with people like that, they'd call them out. They're equally as disturbed by all of this and they would never treat a woman like that. So, and I think we all know that, right? And it's not really a particularly comforting thought to be like, oh, well, good people are out there. Like, we knew that. Can't see them in this thread, but they're there somewhere, I guess. Like, it is a little doom and gloom and distressing, and I get that. But I don't know, sometimes it helps me just to be like, let's take a step back. Not everybody thinks like this, even though this is overwhelming that so many of them do. All right, I want to get into some of our submissions, because that box has been absolutely overflowing with them in the last 2 weeks. So let's just hop right in here, see what people are saying, what's going on at the sleepover this week. Hi, Maddie. I'm hoping to get your advice on a situation that I'm finding myself in. I've been having casual sex with someone for 9 months now, and the sex is honestly amazing, but it's pretty often left me feeling weird and kind of bad. After listening to one of your episodes and reading up on sex aftercare in general, I noticed the lack of aftercare from my partner is probably the answer to why I'm feeling this way. He also isn't as communicative in bed as me and doesn't check in with me as often as I would like him to. I brought both of these things up and told him something needed to change in order for me to want to continue seeing them. He then told me that more sexual intimacy, cuddling, kissing without it leading up to sex, etc., is very tied to romantic relationships for him, and that he has even felt uncomfortable when I was being affectionate towards him after sex because we're not romantically involved. I was honestly shocked and told him that if he didn't want to give his sexual partners basic care, if he's not in love with them, he should not be having casual sex, period. He then told me that me being his first long-term casual partner, he hasn't really thought about that, and that he was willing to try out providing me with the things I asked for. Now I'm feeling very unsure of what to do. On one side, I don't want to be with someone that makes me feel like giving me basic care is something that I'm being granted, and it's something they don't actually want to do. This triggers some of my very deep insecurities about not being worthy of affection aside from sex. On the other side, I feel like I should be giving him a chance to reflect and educate himself and eventually change something in his behavior and his attitude towards sex, especially since that is what I asked of him. But now I feel like the way we think about sex and what it means to be having sex with someone is fundamentally different, and I don't want to have to teach him how to have responsible sex. What do you think? I'm very curious about your thoughts on giving someone the chance to change. Oof. Listen, I believe that everybody deserves the chance to change. That doesn't mean you deserve the chance to change with me. Okay? I hope that all of the men that I have had sex with that made me feel uncomfortable and uncared for, I hope they change and they make other people feel better than they made me feel, okay? I will always give people the benefit of the doubt and hope that people can change and grow and be different. That doesn't mean that you have to stick around to watch that happen. That's kind of my take here. I mean, you know, I agree. I feel like so much of the attitudes around casual sex are that like caring it like ruins it, and that you're not supposed to care or give a fuck about your partners, and if you care about them at all or show any kind of affection, you're ruining it. You're taking it too serious, you're spoiling the casual vibe, you're just putting more pressure on it, whatever. And I think it's all bullshit. And it makes me like actually mad, because I don't know where people get this idea that having casual sex means that you don't show care to the other person, or that you're both just supposed to be like aloof and cold towards each other after sex, that you don't take care of each other. Like, just because you're not committed doesn't mean you don't give a fuck. Doesn't mean you're not supposed to be kind to their person. Doesn't mean that you're not concerned with them being comfortable. It actually infuriates me when people say shit like that, because I agree. It is like we fundamentally see sex differently. If you think that it's appropriate to have intimate sexual relationships with people and demand them to be like completely turned off emotionally, it is unbelievably unrealistic to me. Ugh. Like, I'm on dating apps. A lot of my friends are on dating apps. A conversation that comes up in conversation with my friends a lot is like when you match with someone on a dating app and they immediately ask you to come over to their apartment. And naturally, a lot of people are not comfortable with that for a variety of reasons. Maybe you're not looking to just have sex. Maybe you are concerned about your safety, even a minor amount, and don't want to go over a stranger's apartment, especially as a woman. But I've had conversations with some of my friends that are open to having casual sex, say that like when somebody says this to them, they'll be like, hey, I would love to meet up. I don't feel comfortable meeting up at your house. Do you want to go get a drink first? And they will act like that is too much of an investment, where they're like, I don't want to go on a date. I'm not trying to fucking hang out with you as a person. I'm trying to fuck. And it's like, you can't even muster up enough care about a person that you're asking to be intimate with to get a drink with them at a bar so that they are comfortable. It makes me so mad. I feel like rage bubbling up in my chest as I'm talking about it, because I think these people are so fucked up on so many levels, and I don't think that they should be having sex whatsoever. I do not think that you are mature enough to be having sex if you don't want to take care of your partners emotionally and make sure they're comfortable. I'm sorry, I don't. I think that you are a child and you should not be having sex with anybody. Oh my God, you are a danger. Okay, you need fucking therapy. I can't. It sends me on a fucking spiral. We owe care to our partners, whether they are casual partners or serious partners. We owe that to each other. I'm done with like the, I don't know you shit. We're just casual. No feelings, no emotions. Just be cool. Fucking even a little bit of affection is too much. Shut the fuck up. I'm over it. We owe that to each other. We owe each other a basic level of care and human decency. And if you can't fucking do that, you shouldn't be having sex, because you're scary, actually, deeply, honestly, and truly.
That's how I feel. So me personally, I wouldn't continue having sex with this person. Obviously, what you do is totally up to you. I do believe that people can change. I don't believe that I need to be there to witness it. I hope you get better. I hope you learn something. But I don't need to be subjected to that. And I don't need to handhold you into treating your sexual partners like real people. That also just really turns me off. And based on the way you wrote this, I would imagine it turns you off too. So that's my take.
Hello, I need some advice. I am in a long-distance, long-term relationship, and my boyfriend is quite a pompous and classist character. We come from extremely different social classes. He is, at the very least, upper middle class, and I am working class. He is oftentimes incredibly cruel in the way he talks about people who he sees as inferior, everyone who earns underneath 100K. This ridicule includes me and mocking my background and the economic situation of my friends. For instance, using the term working class mindset when referring to useless and stagnant members of society. When I comment on this and bring it up to him in a decidedly mature way, he cries and feels terrible, but almost immediately goes back to it. He also feels more intellectually capable than everyone. Genuinely, he makes fun of my taste in more childish movies and literature, which are chick flicks, and literature like The Virgin Suicides and The Bell Jar. He feels that he can be rude to me about my little comfy girl movies, but if I say his art house movies are shit, he has a fit. I really want to emphasize, I want to work things out with him, but I'm worried breaking up might be my only other option. I'm desperate for advice. What should I do about this? What is the appeal of being with someone like this? Okay, we need to sit down. We need to have a fucking intervention right now. This is a group meeting going on right now. If your boyfriend is a fucking asshole that thinks so little of working class people and is just all around a fucking prick that thinks he's smarter and better than everyone, including someone that he claims to love, is that what love looks like to you? Is this what a good partner looks like to you? Don't you think that you deserve someone better than this? Someone that doesn't think so lowly of you and the things that you're interested in? There are lots of men out there that will not make you feel bad for liking things, that won't make you feel like your interests are stupid. And the class thing is crazy. That's fucking bonkers bananas. What's going on? Like, what is sexy about someone that treats other people like that? And it's also like, what are you trying to work out? You didn't do anything. This is him. He's just a fucking asshole. There's nothing to work out on your part. It's him. He needs to fucking change, but it doesn't sound like he is. It sounds like this is just who he is. He is showing you his true colors. He is showing you who he is. And now it's on you to react. And I personally don't like this guy. And I'm not rooting for him. And I think he sounds like a prick. So I say break up with him. Also, there's something so irritating to me about someone being just like a grade A asshole, spewing the most like outright mean and offensive shit, and then when they get called out for it, crying about it. I can't with people like that. Absolutely not worth saving, not worth pouring time into, not worth staying with. Fuck this guy, point blank. There it is. This really was the breakup with your boyfriend episode. Truly, honestly, and deeply. Too bad I already used that title a few weeks ago. Anyways. Oh, God. I think we need a group hug after all of this. After all that's been going on in today's episode. I just want all of you to know that you are wonderful and beautiful and amazing and so worthy of love, and you deserve someone that is caring and gentle and takes care of your heart and doesn't fight with you over stupid shit or make you feel stupid or small or that your interests are stupid and small. You deserve to be with someone that just cherishes you, that lifts you up, that cares about what you care about, that makes your interests feel important, that just gives a shit about you deeply. You deserve that. We all deserve that. And I hope that we all find it. And I also hope that we all have the strength to walk away from things that are not that, to choose to stay single, to be alone, to lean on our friendships and other connections we have in our life rather than staying in relationships like that just to avoid being alone. Because I promise you, being alone is not worse than that. that's not what love is. And I will not let anyone take away my perception of what love is and how I deserve to be treated and what I am worthy of. And I hope that you don't either. You know what you deserve. You know what you're looking for. You know what you want. Do not accept less than that. And don't make excuses for these little fucking boys that treat you poorly. Stop being so generous with your benefit of the doubt. Listen, I believe I'm a fair person, but there's a line, right? There's a line of who deserves that grace and fairness and who doesn't. Not everybody deserves it. People who outwardly say they hate women don't deserve it. So with that, I'm going to wrap up today's episode. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Maddie Drawspec. If you want to see more of me, right now I'm doing a 30 outfits in 30 days Instagram challenge. So I'm posting a lot of cute little fall outfits, my favorite season, for anyone that's interested. I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for watching. I will see you next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.